Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy freaking Monday.
Morning.
Yo, so my nieces both got tattoos of a goose this weekend, and they're okay looking, but one of them made a goose that looks like Bernie. I don't know why they put a big ass mustache on the freaking goose.
One of the geese has sunglasses, the other one has a big old Bernie mustache.
So we roll over at the house. I'm like, man, it looks like Bernie. And the whole room erupts. It does look like Bernie.
My brother had two geese on the farm, and they're the friendliest geese. You can actually walk up and give them a hug. They would put their neck around your shoulder, and you can actually hug them. And one was protecting eggs we didn't know about, and a raccoon drowned it. Ate all the eggs, and so we had to unfortunately destroy it. So in memory of the goose, they went and got goose tattoos.
Oh my gosh. That was my question, is why a goose tattoo. I mean, that's why a goose that looks like Bernie is another good question.
Well, I don't think
it was why the goose tattoo.
Peyton, did she know about Bernie's mustache?
She didn't think about it whenever she got it. She just wanted to get a silly goose tattooed on her.
So Bernie, you look like a silly goose.
Wow. All right. Wow. All right. You went all the way around to get there, Stevie. I appreciate that.
You know what? Look, it is early, and I've already had to deal with you.
That means it's a great day. I get to wake up to this every day. I love this day.
Really?
You wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you say, man, I love this face. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, one person in the world's got to do it. Nobody else will.
I mean, there's somebody for everybody, and Donnie has himself.
Yep. So we played poker this weekend, and Keith and I cleaned house. We kicked everybody off the table. But tired boy over there who can't stay up past 7 o'clock had to leave the table where I would have taken him for the rest of it.
I got to get my beauty sleep.
No, I got rebought in. I got rebought in the game three times.
By your girlfriend.
Well, I bought him
girlfriend and by Donnie.
By your girlfriend. I was right.
I think you need some lessons, dude.
Nah, I mean, I don't have to play good when it's not my money. And even when it is my money, I still don't play good.
Yeah. Sometimes just watching what people go when you're not playing like in a poker tournament with the things they bet on, 2-7 offsuit, and they're like going all in. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's so hard to play against.
I had a pair of fours. What do you mean?
And they take it all the way to the end. They have absolutely jack shit in their hand, and they're betting like it's freaking, Monopoly money. So
it caught. I told him, I said, you keep playing like that, it's going to catch up to you, and it did.
Lila had this massive stack. I mean, she was just crushing it, and we just slowly watched it dwindle and all go away as she kept trying to play her.
She said she built a McMansion out of her poker chips, and then she got foreclosed on.
Yep.
But we got plenty of time to practice all the stupid poker chip spinning and stacking and, stupid things you do while you're sitting there playing freaking poker games. So, but it was a lot of fun. All right, Peyton, let's kick this thing off.
Sure thing. All right. So this game show is What Happens Next. I'm going to show you a clip of a video, and then y'all are going to guess what happens after that. And then once everybody guesses, then I'll show you what happens with the rest of the video.
And that's how we got the rules. Once you explain the rules, what happens next?
I don't know. That's all I was told to do. Disclaimer. Don't do anything. Don't do anything that's in these videos. Everyone that's in them so far, that has
on this tells you everything.
I feel like I need this disclaimer to go before the intro of our podcast.
Right.
How many times is the silly goose Bernie in this?
None.
Oh, everything's about to explode or catch on fire.
Is this a Chinese New Year?
I think it is, yeah. But I mean, there's like EDM music going really hard in the background. I don't know if y'all can hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to shoot into the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Oh, there he goes. Oh, yes.
Oh, that is terrifying.
Yeah, right?
Look at
it. You're just enjoying like
the guy. The guy gets up and holds
this guy's like, up and held like here, let me help you up.
Yeah.
He's like, hold his
girlfriend down. You get
just going to enjoy the show. All of a sudden, you're getting bombarded by fireworks.
Yeah, right? Every year, how much it's meant to be here.
Fort Worth, big fireworks because it's so the heat of summer. They always set the whole bank of the river on fire.
That's what insurance is for, right?
True.
Ice fishing.
No, this looks like Donnie and Keith
somehow. Oh,
this guy's getting dragged.
Yeah, that's my thought, Bernie. Yeah, I'm like, this dude's getting ready to be taken across the ice, man.
Getting taken out. Huh?
Yeah, this guy gets in his truck and he takes off and takes the whole damn thing with him.
Yeah, I think you've seen this one. Yeah.
No, but
yeah, this is hilarious.
I love that he zips him in.
Right.
Nice and for safety.
The ski mobile. He watch the ice hole.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, we lost him.
It always kills me when he screams as he jumps out of the hole because he just goes, ah! All the way down. And play it again. As soon as he hits the ice,
that is, that is definitely something that we would do.
Oh, goodness.
We'd probably do it on purpose.
Right.
So it looks like Buddy did it on purpose.
Yeah, watch. It looks like the tent's floating. Like he's got enough room to jump out. Let's get some air.
Yeah.
The scream after he landed is really a piece of that.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, you can yell all you want. You ain't gonna be able to hear it over the.
Yeah, nothing. Oh my god.
He's just sitting out there.
I have no idea.
So context is instead of him being on a stage, he's just sitting in the crowd singing.
I bet
the
he's
song.
Gonna get like
the crowd is knocked. Going to trample him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's gonna get knocked over.
Yep.
Trampled on.
Gotta be.
Something with this little kid behind him. This little kid behind him is gonna do
that
something.
One?
Yeah.
Looks like Peyton.
Oh, he's looking off the crowd, actually.
When he was 12.
All right.
Oh, I thought he meant right now.
Oh my god.
Stared at it.
I love his face. And she goes for it. Oh my god, his face is glorious.
That's great.
It's like she's been doing this all night and he's just so fucking pissed.
Fuck yeah, that's hilarious.
Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Etienne.
Tree fell.
Tree felling?
Yeah, felling. Tree felling.
Chopping.
This is the house trailer. Oh. What do we think's going on?
The house
clip was short, there. But nothing moved.
That tree is falling.
Yeah, that now. House is gone.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yep.
This one blew my mind, actually. There was no video, no audio.
Look at the pollen.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow.
Just think, we breathe that in every day.
Uh-huh.
No wonder we're so sick all the time.
Oh, my God.
You could live in Massachusetts. Gosh. We don't have any yet.
Look at that. Really? Cheers to John. Yeah. Hey, Nicole.
Morning, Nicole.
Morning, Nicole.
Yeah. It just like floods the street. That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it's like a mushroom cloud.
That is disturbing.
My eyes are itchy just watching
them. Mm-hmm. Oh, right?
No.
Hey, jump rope.
She's face planting.
I think the dog grabs the rope.
I agree.
I bet that dog.
The dog grabs a rope and she face plants. So I'm gonna die. Oh,
yeah.
We might have to mute that.
That's really good.
Peyton already laughing.
Nobody saw that coming.
Granny panties.
Crown.
Well, didn't call that one.
No, nobody guessed that was going to happen.
That was not on my list of things that could happen.
Maybe get a smaller pair that fits better.
Maybe she's lost some weight recently.
Yeah, right. We'll go positive vibes.
Yeah, because she's jump roping. She's exercising. I get it.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Her diet is going good. Oh, we are horrible humans.
Oh, it's really good. Oh, it's really good. What if the dog grabs it and runs off? That's what we're saying. The dog grabs the rope and runs off.
Dude, did anybody else know she's doing that in flip-flops?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I was terrified.
I think they put those lyrics in afterwards. So it's,
it's down. Yeah. I'm Donnie, sure that is not that what song? Beyonce was thinking when she made that song.
Oh.
So he's already hit the ground.
Yeah, he's going to land back on the bike and take off.
I've seen this one before, so I won't comment.
Okay.
Okay, well,
I bet he's gonna get run his ass over again,
right?
Yeah, the bike just keeps going, runs him over again.
No, another bike.
Oh, yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting back on that bike, Donnie.
No, I'm wrong.
What, that bike split in two?
Oh, that thing is gonna explode.
He's fine. It cracks me up that he's just standing in the background.
I don't think you finish the race with that.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Start running. Yeah, it just decided it wanted to split in half, go two separate directions. I rewatched it a bunch of times to try and figure out what caused it.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a spot where it's just like, that's the worst.
Well, he was probably doing 180 miles an hour, there's that.
Torsion, man.
Look at all the fuel line split.
I was waiting for it to explode.
Yeah, me too.
Crazy.
Lucky he wasn't smoking.
At 180 miles an hour.
I know how upset he is. His hands go straight up. He's like, fucking shit.
Wow. Wet Road. That's Key's stage name.
Peyton, there was no need for these to be titled.
I don't know.
And that trailer is going to go fishtail like crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that SUV is going to slide into the trailer, causing that trailer to fishtail. And
right there.
Yeah, that one that just came in the frame.
Yeah. There it goes.
Oh.
Hey, can you give me a ride?
Wow. Look at him.
Hey, that's one way to save gas mileage.
Can you imagine being the driver of the pulling the trailer and that happens?
Ooh, yeah.
Now, scary.
That's insane.
God. Yeah, that guy in the SUV gets out and says, "Hey, my nephew dared me."
Thinks he's on Dukes of Hazzard or something.
Wow.
Yeah, he was trying to save gas, you know.
Yeah, right. You're right. Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's the new Uber.
It's terrible.
God
damn, that would suck.
I like this one. This one gives you no context on what's about to happen.
Mudslide?
Nothing moves. Nothing changes.
I don't say it's a mudslide. I bet there's some like diesel is going to come crashing off the top part down into the bottom part.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Any guesses, John?
Or maybe an airplane.
I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to go with the mudslide. That whole building is just going to disappear.
It's all going.
Maybe a small airplane comes flying in.
Submarine. Submarine lands.
Oh, submarine.
Aliens. It's going to be aliens.
There we go.
I think it's going to be a bunch of geese running after Bernie.
Life could be a dream.
Oh, yes.
That was the end. That's the end of the clip. Oh, I wanted to find the rest of it, and there's no more.
Oh, that's too bad.
Huh.
He's flying, though.
I'm sure he was fine.
They were showing the rest because he was
got airbags. It's cool.
Looks like he's going fast enough to land in the water.
Right?
He's going to clear that.
Oh, shit. This will float. Let's find out.
Will it float?
Shortest path to the beach.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
Dog meat.
I bet the dog scares the shark and the shark runs away.
Yeah.
I've never seen a shark run, so I want to see that.
The dog catches the shark.
Dog's
I bet the
catch
dog
the
takes
shark.
Off running.
Yeah.
So there's two dogs on here, and this third one comes running up.
Tell me, kamikazes it.
Oh, pushes the other dog in.
Let go.
He goes.
Oh, Jesus.
He keeps going. Eventually, the dog lets go and resurfaces and swims back. But he held on.
Oh, gosh. He grabbed onto that thing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Dog has no fear.
Right?
Except my dumb dogs would have just held on and been drowned out in the ocean somewhere.
That would be my biggest concern that the dog wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
Did you see the dog owner was pointing? He's like, look at that boy go.
Everybody's train laughing him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. The other dog's just sitting there going, hey, where are you going, Fido?
Yeah.
Hey, how do I get out of the water?
Of course, the Doberman's the one that just sat back and watched and scared the other two.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cats being cats.
Oh
maybe,
that TV's going.
One. Yeah, that was my bad.
Everything's going. Nothing's safe in this video.
That's nothing is safe with cats.
No, anytime there's a cat, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course there's two cats. Oh.
Oh!
Oh my god. Did you see that look like a flying squirrel?
It did.
A ghost
throw that so thing? High.
Oh my god.
The cat nudged it. Jacket fell down and they freaked the fuck out and jumped across the room.
You got to play it again. I've never seen a cat jump that far.
That far, Jesus.
It jumped off the couch. Boing.
Did he catapult off the couch? Oh, he did.
Oh,
he did.
Yep. Right over it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. This guy's backstory. Sitting there probably playing some video game like, what just happened?
The best part is that this guy is only house sitting. He didn't even own these cats. So the owner chimed into the Ring camera and watched his cats for a second, and that's what happened. So he watches his babysitter go, what the fuck just happened?
That's awesome.
All right, one more video, then we got to roll.
Okay.
It explodes.
You think it explodes?
No, I think it stands up and starts dancing.
I think it stands up and
do something.
Scary.
Yeah. It's one of those Boston Dynamic robots. These guys are crazy.
Ew.
Okay, that's just creepy.
Oh, that was creepy. It was like The Exorcist. It still is. Oh,
we're all going to die to robots.
Oh, my God. Terrifying.
Absolutely.
This is terrifying.
Technology. It's scary.
The room. Get out of here.
Skynet coming to get us. Man, I've no.
Right.
Wow.
That's the T1 right there.
It's going to be bad.
Exactly.
Not going to be good.
So put AI inside one of those and it's over.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's over. So
crazy.
If you guys have never want to hear a scary conversation, go talk to watch Larry Page and Elon Musk talk about AI. Because Larry Page wants to create like all the scary AI and Elon's against it. And they will go flat out after it. It's scary listening to two of the most brilliant minds in the world battle it out over AI. Scary shit. Let's kick it off, Peyton.
Fuck that, man.
This is Jonathan Cabral, the owner and operator of Titan Technology Services. John started Titan Tech 4 years ago, right as COVID hit. Titan Tech supplies outsourced IT support for companies who don't have an IT division. His current business goal is to up his client acquisition. And today, he gets the hot seat with the Success Champions team.
So, John, welcome to the party, my friend.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
So, glad to have you here. It's been fun to get to know you inside of SCN for the short time you've been here, but you've been a great addition. Tell everybody a little bit about you, what you do, and where you're based out of.
So that video, first time I've ever been on I've had an intro. So Peyton, I want you to send me that later. I want to keep my intro. I need that in my life, and I need to show it to my wife and say, aww, look, I've made it. I have an intro. So I own Titan Tech, which is, this is the only time I'm going to use this phrase in this meeting, which is an MSP, which is a managed service provider. I hate the term because outside of my industry, it means nothing. We're an outsourced IT department. Like the video said, I started it right at the beginning of COVID. Like, I quit my former job March 11th of 2020.
That's awesome.
So
you were like maybe 5 days too early to make that choice. Is really what you thought?
Yeah, yeah. If I would have waited another week, honestly, I never would have done it. So I'm glad I did it when I did. COVID would have scared the shit out of me, and I wouldn't have done it.
Good for you.
So we're outsourced IT support for small to medium-sized businesses. We manage everything from the little nuanced printer issues that you have all the way through server and cloud migrations and all the fun cybersecurity stuff in between.
Nice.
And we're in Massachusetts because you didn't ask that too.
right? So in your survey, you put that the biggest challenge you're looking at and trying to figure out is should you stay local or take this nationwide? Walk us through that thought process of why you want to stay local or why you should go nationwide.
All right. So I think I have my answer to this just based on the trajectory of the business, but I'm going to throw it to the brain trust. So the biggest piece of my...
I was going to say, Keith's out.
Well, we're just going to remove Keith from the show.
So the biggest piece of this is in IT, we can do 99%. I love it. We can do 99% of our job remotely. We can really do almost everything on our computer in my office and handle it from here. But the biggest piece that is missing to me, and this is the thing where I, when I operate locally, is I have a relationship with my clients. And that's, to me, the biggest indicator of my success is my client satisfaction numbers. So I've had the opportunity to meet with and potentially onboard clients some distance away, some, you know, 250, 300 miles away. And in order to do that, I'd have to contract somebody else to probably do some of the on-site stuff for me. And my biggest concern, because is that relationship, is that continuity. I kind of think of myself as a little bit more boutique in my service. Clients come to me and say, hey, with my current provider, I kind of just feel like a number. And with some of my employees, their former employers made them feel like numbers. And I don't ever want that dichotomy in my business. I always want the relationship to be tantamount to everything else. So when I have someone call me from Colorado and say, hey, you know, we've heard you're great with what you do and your team's fantastic. And we want to talk to you about, you know, how do we onboard with you? I really have to think about if it makes sense for the business, because if I can't deliver what I can deliver to my local clients, then does it make sense? And that's kind of where I'm stuck, because going nationwide helps you grow quicker, but that extra layer of complexity, is it really worth it? And that's kind of where I'm at.
Nice. What a great challenge to battle through. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I'll tell you is going quicker is not always the answer. Right. It bit me in the ass more times than I can count trying to speed things up versus, and it wasn't about not playing the long game. It was more about let's serve more people in a short amount of time. So it's a good thing to think through. Any other questions you guys need clarified before we start diving in, guys?
Yeah, I have one. What are the top two things that you're doing on site that you cannot do virtually?
Shaking hands and kissing babies, honestly.
So that's it. Just a physical touch, physical presence.
Physical presence. At least once a quarter, I meet in person with my clients to go over kind of the status of where we are. And I really like it's, so we're all old enough to know this. I use the Cheers analogy. I like walking into a client and they're like, hey, John's here. Oh, I forgot about, I had an issue with this and I never emailed them. Or just my presence actually initiates more conversations. And how would I get that? Totally.
So there's this new invention. I think it's a fad. I'm not sure if it's going to stick around, but it's called airplanes. Right. Yeah. Right.
It's a fad.
It's a fad. Like you can get on an airplane and you can fly to places and get off them and go visit people face to face. I'm not sure if it's going to stick around, but
That's good information. Thank you, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
glad we could help.
So, but it is a big move to go from a local market than trying to go national. Have you thought through what your SOPs would be, what your processes would have to be in place? How do you put a checks and balances in? Because you can still maintain the face of the company, but you can't guarantee the work if you haven't fully vetted these other companies.
Right. And that's kind of the hard part, right? You have a contract and you subcontract somebody else under that contract. But at the end of the day, it's just a piece of paper with a signature on it. And there's nothing that can, some people aren't on the up and up. They might talk to that client and say, hey, I'm 10 minutes down the road. Why aren't you working with me? He's sending me here. Why don't you just work with me directly? Mm-hmm. And yes, there would be some recourse there legally, but I don't even want to open that door, you know? So the SOPs could be handled contractually, but there's always that fear of people break contracts all the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
I have to say, I don't think I would subcontract with what you're doing, right? It's such a technical thing. You guys are doing things obviously at a higher, different level, which is what separates you apart. But living in a Zoom world that we live in now, you have two choices, right? Do this virtually, right? And make them understand you're going to be with them every step of the way virtually. I've never met a single client of mine. Everything I do is virtually, but I'm with them every step of the way. And the other issue, the other challenge you have is charge them extra so that you can afford to fly out there and cover your expenses. Right. Let them know like, hey, our backyard is Massachusetts. If you want us to service in Colorado, we're happy to do it. However, our fees go up a little bit because of travel costs and things like that. Manage their expectations.
Well, and actually what you do is you switch the terminology. Massachusetts people get a discount. Colorado pays your full price. Right. So you don't charge more because they're out of town. You charge your home people less. Right. Or, just phrase it that way to keep it because that then helps cover your costs for right. the travel. You bake that into your costs, but those are your standard costs. Massachusetts people get a discount because you don't have to travel so far.
But I'm still trying to figure out the challenge of the, I understand.
Well, sometimes there's equipment years. Stuff, right?
Yeah.
Very little.
That's why I asked the challenges, right?
Yeah. So to me, the challenge is that relationship piece. And I understand that we can achieve most of that through a meeting just like this, just, you know, face-to-face on camera. I wonder if clients are okay with that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. For 27 years, I did it the way you did it. And I love meeting people. I love having those meetings. I love building relationships. I've done just as many great relationships virtually now in the last 3 years that absolutely. I did the first 27 years.
Yeah.
Like have great relationships.
So for me, it's, I don't want to always think about, okay, can I do one? Is if I get one, how do I get 10 more? Right. How do I penetrate an area? So when I do fly out, I'm flying out for a couple of days and it's really worth your while to go visit 10, 12 clients, you know, in a given area.
And I've thought about that too. And it's, then do I have to saturate their market? Do I have to market that market before I can take anybody on? So at some point, my local market's going to be saturated and I'm not going to be able to take it any further.
Sharon, I prefer meeting people in Zoom to real life.
Zoom lets you just hit end, you know, unfortunately.
Just be done. Well, I think the thing, though, is if you know that your local market, you're going to run out of clients, right? You're going to run out of people who fit your perfect fit, right? Whatever size or whatever thing that is. Then I think you have to be thinking, how do I grow bigger, right? Because if you're a business and you want to continue to grow, then you're going to have to go past your market. I think then you have the choice to decide, do I want to go nationwide shotgun splatter in terms of marketing, or do I want to pick somewhere and then saturate that market so that, to Donnie's point, when you fly out, you can go there. Right. Yeah. I think there is something to be said for just saying, is there a specific space? And maybe you start easy. I have a client who, when they wanted to find a new market, they went where family was, because they knew they go to visit family anyway. So she has family in Florida. She made Florida her next market she was going to tackle. And so she would just make networking visits when she went to visit her family. She started using family vacation and wrote it off, right? Business travel, right? Like she just started doing that because that gave her a place where she could get to know people and she could start showing up there easier in one location than trying to just go nationwide. right? So I do think there's some things you could do there if you wanted to grow past your local market, but you don't necessarily want to just say, well, now I'm trying to hit anybody and everybody, right? Because that can be a little too big. You know, pick a place and then just go for it and put your time and intention behind it. But every city has virtual networking, has a chamber of commerce that does virtual things. I mean, nobody says you have to live there to attend.
Right. John, crazy question for you. Your number one client calls you up and says, we're moving to California or moving to Oregon or moving to Colorado. It's your number one client, your biggest revenue coming in. They're moving. What do you do?
I already have a relationship, so I'm not worried about it. I can easily support them because we've been working together for years now.
Cool.
So I think one of the biggest challenges you've created this incredible culture, it sounds like, with your employees, and you've created this environment. So your challenge is, have you documented everything that you've done so that if you were to have to set something up in Portland, Oregon and recreate that with somebody else at the helm, right, where you've got these divisions of people, because I think contracting out's not the solution. I think recreating what you have in Boston and creating another team out there is probably the right answer. So have you documented, do you have all the steps in place so that somebody else could be as successful as you've done?
So not like Ray Kroc documented McDonald's, but I'm pretty close. Like I probably have 80% of my SOPs document. I spent,
that's a lot.
That's amazing.
I realized probably about a year ago that if I wanted to grow this business, I couldn't keep everything in my head. The people that work for me needed to have it as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, step-by-step technical stuff is documented, business processes, sales processes, marketing stuff isn't documented as well as it could be, but I've probably spent more time than I should have in the past year putting that stuff together.
Do you have a document of your prospecting funnel from how you first meet somebody all the way through? Because that would help you apply that to other things.
That is actually something I do not have. And something I know I have to work on, but that's the one that gets put to the bottom of the list all the time.
Work on a couple of them then, because I want you to work on your networking one, right? I want you to take a look at your clients and then tell me where they come from.
Yeah.
Right? Was it a specific industry that made that referral, that introduction? Was it a specific person? And then figure out when you're networking, that's where you should go spend your time. And then document that process of who that is. And then when you're networking with SCN or anybody else, now you know who to ask for.
Yeah. Yep. And you can take that and you can use that anywhere.
Yep.
Right. Because if you know they're in this industry or you know that they're these people, as Keith's saying, then you can just go anywhere with that. You don't have to be so tied to where you are.
Okay. Yeah. Totally get it.
Yeah. You seem like you're an individual who's focused on building the relationship with the clients, right? And Keith mentioned your culture. So, you know, to Donnie's point, I think ultimately you just need to figure out how you ultimately replicate that culture elsewhere, because if you're focused on the relationship, it doesn't matter if it's virtual or it's in person, you're going to build that relationship with your client anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How did you meet all these clients now that are close to you in Massachusetts? Was it networking? Was it...
That's 100% referral. So my best client was actually referred to me by a competitor because the competitor didn't want to take them on. So he called me and said, hey, these guys need some help. You know, give them a call, see what you can do. And that's by far my best client. Other than that, it's 100% word of mouth.
It's my biggest pet peeve in networking. I love that you just said that. So many people are like, oh, this is my seat. Nobody else can come in here and take it. I'm like, if I have a competitor, I'm going to be talking to them on a weekly basis, because there's clients that they don't want and there's clients that I don't want, right? Those should be your best collaboration partners.
So well, it's funny you say that. On LinkedIn, I am connected to more IT providers than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I actually have a virtual coffee later this morning with an MSP who's 35 miles down the road. And he's like, hey, we need to collaborate. And the collaboration in our industry is kind of surprising. So it's really good. It's strange because you think everybody just wants to cut each other at the throat, but everybody needs IT support. There's millions of businesses in this country and there's not millions of providers. So there's plenty of pieces of pie for everybody.
Hey, just out of curiosity, do you know a guy named Gregory Klein Hertzel?
No, that name does not ring a bell.
All right, I'm going to make an introduction. He has a collaboration of people in the IT space. So does Dan Horwich.
I already did introduce him to Dan.
Did you?
Dan's
a cool guy.
Yeah.
So I introduced you to Gregory. So cool. He's out there on the East Coast too, but he has a huge co-op of nothing but people in the IT industry.
Wow. All right.
Well, and if you're good with meeting competitors and talking to them about that opportunity to collaborate or to share, you know, clients that don't fit, then that's also a really good start for breaking into a new market. Just go look up your competitors. Mm-hmm. Right. If you know that works, then just go do that. Go find who the people are in that area doing that work and reach out and offer a virtual coffee to just chat about what they're doing and what you're doing and where there may be overlap or where there's things that you do differently. And then you can start building your referral business from them.
I had never even thought about doing it that way. That is actually super good advice.
So now you go visit family. While you're there, you reach out to all the MSPs in the area, right? Yeah. And now you freaking start really penetrating and taking market share.
Yeah. Well, and I think collaboration is so important, right? Because, and this is true for every industry. This isn't just MSP or anything else. There are so many times where I think we avoid the people who are like us because we think they're our competitors. We don't have anything to talk about. People who are in your same space know which clients are good clients and bad clients. They know what their going rate is, what your going rate is, what size company they work with, what size company you may work with. And those are always where good referrals come. So to Keith's point, I don't think, so many people avoid the competitor thinking that, well, they're my competitor, so why would I want to collaborate with them? But in reality, I mean, I get, as a speaker, tons of my referrals come from other speakers who somebody reached out to them and say, hey, do you speak on this? And they go, no, I don't, but Stevie does, right? And then they refer over. But if I didn't have those relationships with those competitors, I wouldn't get those referrals. So I think it's such an important point. And if it's already worked for you, then you already know how to do it.
Yeah, that's true. And so, there's such a prominence of solo MSPs, like where guys just, they want to work for themselves and not have employees and basically just have their own job. They don't have their own business. Yeah. And I've always looked at my business as a business. It's never just been my job. It's been something where, yeah, I can do good stuff for my clients, but I can also provide for my employees and their families. And so there's, to your point, I think I can expand upon it and really focus on the guys that are just the one-man shops who can't handle more work. They have the work they have and they can't move beyond it.
Yeah.
So I got another quick question. You said you started March something 2020, right? Why didn't you start earlier?
Fear.
Okay. So I guess the same thing about you branching out across the country is the same thing. Right?
Mm, great point.
Get over it. Pull the fucking trigger and go.
Mm-hmm. Right? Fair enough. Yes, sir.
Anybody always says that I'm the tough one, right?
I like that.
Everybody always says I'm the tough one. Well, it's, most times we end up overthinking things.
I mean, Donnie doesn't because he doesn't have enough brains.
This is true. This is true. Thank God I have the looks to make up for it.
You do indeed. There you go.
That's why I love watching and listening to a lot of documentaries, man, because the one common denominator with some of the most successful people in the world is they take massive risk and take bets and leaps on themselves that other people would think are insane. And it's fascinating to watch. I think the only thing that kicks our ass collectively as a whole is we're not willing to take the same big ass risk and bet the farm, on more things. So for you, this is really a case of it's just shit or get off the fucking pot.
And that was much nicer than what I said.
And I'm curious for those that are watching, we got a lot of viewers today. How many of you actually collaborate with your competition? Are you guys getting out there and talking to competition? How are you guys working with competition as a whole?
And also, how many of you guys are living in fear? You're not taking the next step to grow your company because you're afraid of what's going to happen. And sometimes fear goes two ways, right? You're afraid to take on too big of a client that you can't handle, but you don't know if you can handle it till you take that client on.
Right. Right.
So like we just submitted a bid for $4 million. I have no clue how I'm going to onboard that customer. $4 million a year in background check. I'm thinking, holy shit, the infrastructure I've got to build to be able to handle that size business. But you know what? I'll figure it out if we win the bid. It's a good problem to have.
That's right.
Yeah. Same token. I just had for the first time, somebody reached out on LinkedIn that I'm going out Friday to do a workshop for them to teach their sales team how to build networks. And, you know, they're in an industry I've never danced with, don't know anything about. So, and if all goes well, then it's going to be teaching these salespeople how to build their own networking group in addition to what they're doing. So, but I said yes, because I wanted to go figure it out, see if it's possible in doing it. So I'd rather say yes and you know, build the parachute on the way down with it. So the other thing that's fascinating about John is, so he launched this thing in March of 20. He's an MSP with employees and continuing to grow. How many MSPs have you guys run across that are struggling, can't find clients, right? Or can't build? John doesn't always see himself as successful as he's pulled off in a very, very short amount of time. You're welcome.
I've only met several hundred MSPs, so I don't have met that many, but very few have actually had an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Like an employee, right? Like one singular employee. They contract out all the work, which means they're probably not getting the service that you're providing your clients, because you've built a culture amongst your employees, because you guys all know what you don't like. So you've created an environment of what you guys all like. And everyone's going to thrive in an environment like that. So very seldom. There's one MSP here locally that has a few employees. But outside of that, I don't know many that.
Even in the franchises, you are. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No.
So.
Well, and I think to the point that you made earlier, John, of just like your ability then to maybe find some of those guys that are kind of doing it on their own because they simply didn't want to work corporate anymore, but they maybe aren't the best salespeople, aren't the best networkers. They're not able to grow their business to having employees and things like that. They may be great people to bring into yours. Yeah, right? Like there's an element of maybe some of your next employees are people who were on their own, but then saw this great culture and you find the work for them. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, because I hear that all the time from entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They love the work. They hate the sales. Right. And I'm that way too. I mean, I love the work and I hate the sales, but you have to do the sales if you're going to be successful. But a lot of people are out there struggling because they're really good at the work, but they're not really good at the sales. And those are the people that make great employees sometimes.
And they're also able to get them on the cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, and that's the weird part about me as an IT provider. I've always been good at the sales and I learned the tech because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But the sales part was always to me the first part.
Well, and that makes you very,
I never could process the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Well, think about what you've done. Like Success Champion Network is create an environment. Anybody can go out and create their own network. But most people don't have a clue where to start. So that's what SCN has done, right? We've given you the structure to go out and be successful in your business networking. You've done the same thing with your MSP. You could go out and provide the structure that people need to be successful because you've already built it, right? That's where you need to become bigger in your confidence game and say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know my shit. Now let's go replicate it.
Yeah.
This conversation is kind of like, so I'm reading the E-Myth Revisited. You guys mm-hmm. have probably all
oh, yeah.
read that. It's literally this conversation we're having right now. It's like, it's awesome.
That means light bulb's going off,
right?
Yeah, light bulb's definitely going off. Absolutely.
And I really like the focus of going after the solopreneur MSPs, because I think there's just so much land grab opportunity there. And if you leverage SCN and tell everybody that, then you need to meet the solopreneurs, you're going to get a ton of introductions. I would even go so far then to go, can you run workshops that says how to build a business if you're a solopreneur, you know, MSPs, solopreneur IT company, right?
Yeah, you could teach people how to grow their companies.
Yeah.
And we're back to this, John. John and I have talked about this on several occasions, exactly this. Terrell's trying to get you guys to help me get there.
Well, and just so you know, John, and the audience knows too, right? We don't talk about you guys prior to this show. Yeah. So this is not a collaboration that we're trying to gang up on you, right, and tell you what Nani told you. But so all this stuff is coming brand new from us. So I am curious now, like, next steps. What do you think you're going to do? How are you going to do it? What are you going to take away from this conversation and start applying?
That is the $1 million question, right? I don't know.
That's why I asked it.
I don't know. So I can't answer the question. I think I need to start leveraging the network more than I do. Because right now I'm not. And obviously LinkedIn is a hugely beneficial place that I can start leveraging that as well. I've only really started trying to leverage it in the past like 3 or 4 months, and it's already kind of starting to provide some returns with just the contacts in my industry. So now I can probably take those further than I was planning on taking.
But are you doing that just in the Massachusetts area?
I mean, LinkedIn's around the world. There's no limit.
That's what I'm saying. If I were you, I'd start looking outside of Massachusetts and getting MSPs to come to other SCN groups so that you can network them around the country. Right. It's what I do. If people know, all the HR people in SCN around the country probably came in through me, because I want as many HR people in SCN as possible, because that's who I want to network with.
Yep. So I've got a couple people that have I put in touch with, Donnie, one of them in Canada. I don't think I sent the guy from New York over yet, but so I have been doing that. I have been trying to get other MSPs into SCN.
Nice. Good.
That's good.
Good. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
I could potentially start looking at your brand as a whole and wonder if you focus more on teaching how to build a successful company. You're still managing your client base, but if you became like the brand of, this is how you build an MSP, this is how you build an IT company. And I think you got to get over the head trash of MSP in that phrase, and not liking the words, because the longest time where this comes from, and I'll bring this full circle, is I hated the word networking. Like, I really thought that being the guy who was teaching networking was the dumbest thing on the planet, because it's networking. It's not fucking rocket science. What I did not understand is people didn't understand to network like I teach networking, right? And it's going to be the same thing for you. So it's not about owning that you're an MSP. It's about owning that you do MSP fucking different than everybody else, right? And people don't understand it from that perspective. So I would... to bring that full circle, to complete that whole thought process, is become the guy who's teaching other MSPs how to build a successful business so you can scale the shit out of yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And the thing about using MSP, because I appreciate not using jargon when people don't know it, but you're talking to other MSP people. So
we're talking to them. Yeah.
Right. Easy. When you're talking to them, lean in to that, because they know that word, they know that phrase, they know what you're talking about, right? So speak their language when you're talking to them, and then speak client language when you're talking to clients. But from a branding perspective, if you're branding towards that, then use their lingo all day long and you'll attract the right people.
Yeah. Gotcha. And then another thing you can do is grow your mustache out and like twirl it sideways.
Yes. Helpful.
It works.
And eventually it ends up a tattoo on somebody.
That's right. That's right.
Whole circle.
On a goose.
Country. You silly on goose.
Oh, dude, my goodness.
So, John, so
the only issue I'm going to have with this is taking advice from a Dolphins fan is going to hurt.
It hurts us all the time. You are not alone.
Listen, you got the next 30 years of bad luck on your side, and it's about time. You guys are done with your dynasty, and I'm so happy.
That's all right. So. Two is one concussion away from going to sleep.
Wow.
Wow, that was harsh.
Holy cow.
Wow. You leave Troy out of this.
And we'll probably still have more wins than you guys this year.
Probably will. Absolutely. But that's fine. I had 20 years of trash talk. I know.
That's why I said you had a great run. You enjoy it while you can. Now you're about to take some lumps. Better than a cow.
Right, Julie,
you are 100% fine. You're 100% right, Julie.
Hey, go. Hey. Hey.
So, John, we've kind of run you through all kinds of stuff today. I'm curious, what's kind of the biggest takeaway and what are the action steps you're going to take and apply from here?
First action steps is I'm going to increase my MSP network and start talking to the solopreneurs and see if there's opportunities there. That to me seems like the most logical next step, as opposed to marketing to clients who, because that's in my mind, that's where I was going, marketing to clients in a larger geographical area. It seems to make sense to, you know, some of the guys that are running the solo shops are the guys that hate what they're doing. They just want to do the tech. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Come on board. Yeah. I'll do the business part. You keep doing the tech and you do it my way.
Oh, I think that's your tagline.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I'll do the business part. You do the tech. The tech.
Yeah.
That was well said.
It's a great way to get them in. I love that for you.
That's awesome.
Anybody else notice that Peyton put Rockstar under Donnie's name for a hot second? It was like a hot second.
Look how tiny it is, too.
Tiny letters. I think Birdie and I both saw it because we were both like, okay.
Peyton is secretly in love with him behind the scenes, I think.
No, you can interrupt me. That's all good.
Everyone is supposed to have a little headline underneath their name, and Donnie's the only one that put one, and it just says Rockstar. And I was like,
that's no, I have a headline.
There, and I took it off.
No, yeah, your name. In mind.
The headline is the second button, it pops up right there. That's what I have. Broadcast.
Why don't you create it for all of us? Because we don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because we don't know how to do that. Peyton.
Y'all should do. Oh, well, you should do it. I'm out of here. Good luck.
Donnie,
good
luck. Donnie, you're a rock star.
I am. Look at me go. You are a rock star. It makes it worse that now y'all know I did it myself.
It actually does. It was funnier when it was Peyton. Now it's
I wasn't going to say anything, too. I was going to be like, yes, it's Peyton. I didn't get caught in that one.
Oh, I'm jumping in here. No, there's no way.
Now it's just terrible.
Right.
It's just terrible.
Right. Can we go back to Silly
Peyton? John would love for you to get that clip over to him as fast as possible. He can't wait to put that on his big screen projector and show his entire family.
It's going to be on loop in his office. Right.
I'm going
to
put it on LinkedIn.
I'm trying to think of the first person I need today. To go to, you know?
Dude, send it back to the person who said you running an MSP would never be successful. Just send it to him in a message and go, here, this is how unsuccessful I was.
I'm not vindictive like that.
Oh, I am.
Peyton, get it to me in like 3 minutes. You know, after this meeting, I got to walk out that door over there and just my head's not going to fit through. I'm just going to.
How do you feel? I think Donnie feels every day.
Sideways.
Right. Right. Oh, this is awesome. Well, John, thanks for hanging out with us, bud. This was a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun bringing in the SCM members and tackling these. We haven't had a bad one yet.
You know, the funny thing is you probably have the best personality of anybody I've ever met in the IT world.
Like you actually have a personality.
Right, exactly. You're trying to get information out of some MSPs. You're like, what the hell? This guy's a computer nerd.
Nope. Hey, you're recording this, right? Can I get to show this to my wife, man?
Don't worry, it's recorded. I'm on it.
Too damn funny.
Yeah, I've heard that before, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, the guy I'm introduced to, Gregory Klein, the same way. He's got an incredible personality for an IT person, and guy's more connected than anybody else I've ever met in this.
And
in
this
that
is
world,
Keith so. Would be Keith backpedaling.
Exactly. So you guys are going to get along fantastically.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Well, let's talk about upcoming events. What events do you guys have coming down the pipes? I know we've got a couple. The closest one is May 10th. We have the Champion Summit here in DFW at the meeting place in
Addison.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name of the city. Every other A city was coming to the words except for that one. So May 10th,
Champion. Not in Abilene.
Right. Not in Arkansas. Stevie?
We don't I have a webinar on coworker communication on Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. So. It'll be fun. Come join us.
I hate all my coworkers.
And then we have a workshop this Friday, Quiet Connector for your introverts over on LinkedIn. I'll get a link for that and drop that in there. Bernie?
Yeah, I've got a new mastermind starting up with Jennifer Fry called Disruptor Discussions. It's going to be every Wednesday at noon Eastern time.
Nice.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
That's cool.
Very cool. Don't forget the Badass Business Summit coming up September 18th through the 20th right here at Fort Worth. Sponsorship things are filling up. So if you want to sponsor, I would get with me as quickly as possible because a lot of them are gone now. And if you don't have your tickets yet,
get them.
Right. This event is going to sell out because of the people we have on the panels and speakers and what we're doing this year. So I would highly suggest you get in there and get your tickets now.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. Probably the one of the coolest lineup of speakers. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up really quick.
John, are you coming in for that?
So no, the week before or 2 weeks before is my 20th anniversary. So my wife and I are going on vacation. So I can't do two trips that close together.
We just talked about you working remotely. What's your excuse now?
So that it's my excuse on that one is family first in all things, right? My wife wife leaves the house very early in the morning, so it's dad's job to get my daughter at school.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you.
That's awesome. So this year,
maybe next year.
The summit, if it'll pop up in Lofest. This is our lineup for the LinkedIn panel. There's over 150,000 connections there between Kevin Turner, Cher Jones, Liam Darby, and Melissa Cohen, all coming in on the LinkedIn panel. So really excited.
Don't know why we had to ruin the photo with Donnie.
Look how sexy those blue eyes are. Look at those blue eyes, man. Yeah. They look good.
Yeah. Four of the greatest people on the planet, and then video there.
You know what's great about that picture? Stevie wasn't on it at all. So
that's true.
Or Keith, true. Or Bernie, right? So or Peyton.
I think of the person that has the least amount of followers on LinkedIn, I have like 10% of what they have for followers.
I know, right?
And I have almost 5,000 followers. So, I mean, these people have, I mean, such an incredible audience. I can't believe you got them all to say yes.
I know. It's going to be a lot of damn fun. So, and they'll be all there all 3 days. So all the speakers stay the entire time and our participants as well. So it's going to be a hell of a show, hell of a shindig. So, next week we are bringing in Doug Mitchell. So, and we're going to talk a lot about some really cool things with his stuff and the things he's trying to do.
Oh, wrong one.
Peyton? Wow.
Oh, you, my me, God. Me. We have each other's back here, Peyton.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm about to bring you up to speed on that one later, John.
I wasn't.
I talked to Doug
ask.
Mitchell last week and scared the absolute piss out of him, so I can't wait for him to get here next week.
Yeah. So
I told him I was going to make him cry.
Yep. Perfect. That is the aim and goal.
Love it.
So you guys go have a badass week. Freaking keep rocking. Have some fun. We're here every Monday, 8 a.m. Central, freaking hanging out, torturing our clients. I mean, helping our clients the best way we can and showing up and helping you guys get the week kicked off. So get after it. Get it done. Love you. Mean it. See you. Bye.